Hey, good morning, Charlottesville. Welcome to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie, and we're glad you're here on this bright and shiny Saturday morning. Hope you're either listening on the radio, or don't forget that you can listen live by going to WINA.com and look for the Listen Live button up in the top right corner. And folks all over the world are listening to Real Estate Matters with Michael Guthrie, and it's fun to be streaming live. It really makes a significant difference in the number of folks that can come. If you miss it or if you like the show, you can always go to WINA.com, click on podcasts, and there's an archive of all the shows. And you can click there and you can download them, or you can cut and paste them and send them to your friends, or whatever makes sense for you. But we're glad you're here. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. Got to give a shout out to my daughter Becca and her husband Ben, and their best friends Matthew and Jessica in Charlottesville today for just a short period, because they're heading up north tomorrow to run in the Army 10-miler, which should be a beautiful day for that as well. So we're glad they're here. We always try to do things special around our house when our kids come to visit, and this morning was one of those times. I actually had a hot air balloon land in our front yard just so that they could have an experience of seeing what that was like. The only thing that kind of screwed up with that is they thought I had actually had it land there so that they could go on a hot air balloon ride, and that wasn't quite it. But it was kind of cool to be sitting there and say, oh gosh, look, there's a hot air balloon landing in the front yard. But anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about real estate, and the reason that we call the show Real Estate Matters, as most of you know, is that there every aspect of things that happen around Charlottesville, around the state, nationally, real estate has an impact on that. We've heard just even the last couple of weeks the politicians talking about the fact that the way we come out of recession is by stirring and stimulating the housing market. And there's some frustration there. There's a lot of things going on that, in fact, aren't stimulating the housing market. They're actually pressing down the housing market. And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about this morning with my guest, Tammy Wilt. You can follow Tammy on Twitter. She's at MortgageDR, Mortgage Doctor. And she's with New American Mortgage here in Charlottesville. She's a partner with us at Roy Wheeler. And we're going to be talking about mortgages. We're going to talk about the underwriting guidelines that are happening that are making it tougher to get a mortgage. But we're also going to hopefully give you some good news about the fact that there's some ways that you can take advantage of it as well. But what I wanted to lead with this morning, I kind of went on a rant earlier in the week. You always want positive news. And for those of you that live in Charlottesville, Sunday in the Daily Progress, there was a wonderful headline about the fact that the Charlottesville market was the sixth best housing market in the United States. And I looked at that and I went, wait a minute, what happened? What changed? And so I read the article and I was so frustrated, because even though it was a great positive headline, it's just not true. And when you look at our market, if we're the sixth best housing market in the country, then our country is in a world of hurt, because we are really, as you've heard me talk about over the last several weeks, skipping along the bottom. I think we're on the way to recovery, but prices are still down. There are way too many houses on the market. As you heard in the lead-in of the show, it's all about inventory. And when you've got 3,500 or 3,600 homes on the market at a given time, you just can't get the balance that you need to have the right amount of houses for the right amount of buyers, so that the seller gets kind of the price they want to get, and the buyer buys it at a price they want to buy it at. And everybody's happy. It's a win-win. Well, right now it's not a win-win. It's still a very much of a buyer's market, and it's so much of a buyer's market that a lot of buyers are somewhat paralyzed by saying, "Gosh, is it going to go down lower? Should I think about waiting and seeing if the interest rates go down?" And folks, I just wanted to kind of start the show by saying, if you're listening and you're a seller and you read that headline, don't think that this means that your price should be able to go up. We are still in a very tough, challenging real estate market where sales price is absolutely key, location, condition of the property, and you need to be aggressively priced. We see it time and time again. I don't care whether it's an $80,000 condo or a $3 million, $6 million farm and estate. Once the seller finds the right price, they get it down to a price that makes sense. There are buyers out there that want to buy it. And yeah, it was great to have that headline, but the facts don't back it up. the Builder Online survey that rated us that. Let me just make one other point, and then we'll get on with the show. I think it had to do with new home permits, had to do with communities in Charlottesville that are beginning to pick up. And, you know, people talk about Belvedere, and we're right in the middle of Parade of Homes, folks, today and tomorrow. Get out there, 12 to 5. There are lots of new homes and builders that you can talk to. If you want to know more about it, you can go to brhba.org/parade, and you can get all the details, or you can go to facebook.com/realestatematters, and we've got it all posted there as well. But Belvedere, Old Trail, Wexford out in Greene County, all of these folks are experiencing an uptick in folks coming in looking and folks writing contracts. But what a lot of folks don't realize is the reason that we got there is that all three of those developments got to a price per lot that allowed a builder to build a house at a price that you were willing to buy it at. A couple, 3 years ago, the lot price was much higher. Builder couldn't build a house and get it in the price point that they needed to. So finally, the builders, just like I've talked about with you all with existing homes, the builders and developers lowered their lot prices so that they could build a house so that the high twos to the mid threes, low fours, you could get in a really nice new house, nice square footage, good location, nice view. And so it's the same there as well. I'll get off my soapbox in regards to that. I do think we're still very much in a challenging market. I do think that we will gradually come out of it, but it's going to be slow and steady. And so be smart about price. And as a buyer, and I'm going to lead right in with Tammy, as a buyer, you want to have your homework done to make sure that you've gotten yourself pre-qualified, you've gotten yourself in a position to put your best foot forward when you make that offer. But the rest of the show, I want to talk to Tammy Wilt. And Tammy, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to have you come on is that I really appreciate the fact that you've been spending some time teaching folks about credit scores, because it is such a crazy deal. And yeah, you're teaching classes and giving the agents an opportunity to get continuing education. You taught the class at Carr a couple of weeks ago. And I just think it's great information that whether you're a buyer or a seller or a real estate agent, this is information that would be helpful to you. So I appreciate you being on the show this morning. And just real quickly, let's just talk a little bit about where is our mortgage market right now as far as interest rates, as far as what people are looking at when they're thinking about buying a home.
Well, the mortgage market is still, the interest rates are still really low. You're looking, if you have a good credit score these days, by the way, is 720. So if you have a good credit score, it's your primary residence, you're looking at about 4.25%, depending on how much your money down payment is, for a 30-year fixed rate loan with no points. So that's still really good. But it is very much, you have to be prepared when you go in. You need to know what your credit score is. And if your credit score is too low, that rate can bump up significantly depending on what your credit score is.
And when you think about, you know, a good credit score is 720. The highest is 800, is that right?
850.
850, okay. So I think the kind of crazy thing, and I'm going to put you on the spot because I know you can't really answer the question, but when people say to me, well, how does my credit score get determined? I always hear this algorithms and those kinds of things. I mean, you can't sit down with a calculator and do dot, 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 and make that credit score come out. Whoever does that, how does it happen?
Oh, the Fair Isaac Corporation is the ones who came up with the risk-based credit scoring in the 1960s that we currently use to determine loans. There are three credit bureaus that we pull from. We pull from TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. And we look at the middle score. So whatever one of those is the middle score between the three is the one we choose. You're right. There is no sort of rhyme or reason to a point, but there is a percentage of what is on your revolving credit? How many installment loans do you have? Do you have a mortgage? How many inquiries do you have? Do you have any delinquencies? So it is, like you said, some sort of magic algorithm as to what those things go into. And they are weighted differently. What you want to do is if you've got revolving credit, and let's say the limit on your credit card is $1,000, you want to keep that balance less than 50%, preferably 30% of what your limit is allowed. And that is going to give you the biggest bang for your buck.
And we're going to talk more specifically about those types of things, about the things that you need to be aware of. And as we go into the break, just real quickly, from a standpoint of buyers wanting to get a mortgage, we hear a lot of bad news, but But there is the opportunity. I mean, there are ways for folks to get loans. It's not like there's not money out there. It, just real quickly, what kinds of things should that buyer be looking at as they go into to applying for a mortgage with someone like yourself?
Well, I think the biggest thing they need to do is see where their credit stands. And then we can go with collecting the documentation that they're going to need. And we can certainly go into what that documentation is, because it is very detailed. Yes, we are still lending money, but it is a lot more document intensive these days.
Well, we're going to take a break here and let New American Mortgage, which is the company that, that Tammy actually works with and is a sponsor of the show, as well as Classic Furniture, share the important things that they want you to know about their businesses. Obviously, they'd love to have you participate in what they're doing. So we'll take a listen to them, and we'll see you after the break. Good morning, and welcome back to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WINA, and we're glad you're here. I'm talking with Tammy Wilt from New American Mortgage. As I said before, you can follow her on Twitter at MortgageDR, at MortgageDoctor. And we're talking about mortgages. We're talking about credit. As we went into the break, Tammy, we talked a little bit about what people should be thinking about in regards to applying for a mortgage. But let's talk a little bit about the cost. And let's just assume that we're talking about a buyer who's going to be buying a $300,000 home, and they're going to put 5% down. So that would be $15,000. So they're going to have a mortgage of $285,000. The way I always look at this, and you tell me if I'm wrong, and I'm happy to have you tell me if I'm wrong, but I always rule of thumb it. When somebody says to me, what's it going to take for me to buy a house? I say, well, how much are you going to put down? And let's use this example again, that it's 5%. Well, you're going to need $15,000 to put down. And then I always rule of thumb 3% more for purchaser's closing costs. Talk a little bit about what those closing costs are and if I'm somewhat accurate in that percentage.
You are fairly accurate. I generally now these days say between 3 and 4. And what goes into closing costs, they're broken out into certain sections. There's closing costs, which are sort of one-time fees. There are prepaids, which is like paying your homeowner's insurance, and escrows, which are
appraisal.
Yeah. So you have in your closing costs, you have your appraisal, you have an underwriting fee, a credit report fee. Sometimes there are a couple of other fees in there, but those are the big three. Fees that go into the closing costs. Then you have your homeowner's insurance. And a lot of people forget that they've got to buy homeowner's insurance. And they pay that a year in advance. So they have to pay that whole year premium. And then also you pay interest from the day of the month you close to the end of the month. And collecting for real estate taxes. So also the month you close could also affect what your closing costs are going to be. So if you're closing closer to when taxes are due again, it may be a little higher than you've anticipated. So I always use sort of 3 to 4%. If they're going to pay any points to bring down the rate, that may go to 4 to 5.
Now, a couple of things, folks, as Tammy just mentioned, like if you're settling in the middle of the year, real estate taxes are collected twice a year, June or July, and then later in the year. So depending on when you're settling, those real estate taxes may be collected up front to make sure your mortgage company has enough money to pay them when they need to do. The other sort of thing that I think is interesting, Tammy, is that if you settle near the end of the month, the cool thing about selling at the end of the month is that your mortgage is paid in arrears. So in other words, you settle on October 30th, you're not going to pay anything until December 1st. So it's almost like you get a free month. You don't, but it feels like that because you're not having to do something up front. But the one suggestion I would make, and Tammy, I appreciate your input on this just from a practical experience, I always tell people that even though that makes a lot of sense to keep your costs down, if you can move it back several days to like the 20th or 22nd or something like that, there are so many people that want to settle at the end of the month that the folks that are handling your settlement, the mortgage company, as well as the title company or the attorney, they get much, much busier at the end of the month because everybody's trying to do that. Whereas if you can move it back a few months, I think that you're actually going to get better service just because folks aren't quite as busy. Is that true?
That's very true. That's very true. I recommend anywhere from the 15th to maybe the 25th getting the closing done. The other thing, and some people don't realize this, is let's say you close on the 2nd, 3rd, or 4th of the month. You can also do what's called a short pay loan, where instead of paying interest from that day to the end of the month, you can actually get a little rebate back. But instead of having that month in payment in arrears, you would actually be due. So if you, let's say you close on November 2nd. And you chose to do this short pay, then your first payment would be due in December 1st, but you're not paying the interest for the full month of November.
Right.
So that's another way to keep the cost down.
And then another cool little tip, folks, is that if you are in a place where you only have a certain amount of money that you can pay on a monthly basis, and so you can't afford the little bit of bump up in interest rate to get like a 15-year mortgage, which obviously allows you to pay your mortgage off in 15 years, you can get a 30-year mortgage, get that payment down as low as you want it to be, and then in some situations, the mortgage companies will let you pay that twice a month. So if you have like a $1,200 mortgage, you pay $600 on the 15th, $600 on the 30th. And what ends up happening is it makes an extra payment every year, and it reduces the term of your mortgage. Or another thing you can do, folks, is you can do that and save, you know, put $300 away or whatever it is you want. And at the end of the year, write a check for principal to the mortgage company. When you do that, you can significantly reduce the term of the mortgage. I've heard as much as maybe 10 or 12 years. And what has been your experience there, Tammy?
My experience is basically 5 to 8 years. But it depends on the amount of your mortgage. So the greater the mortgage payment, the more time it's going to chunk off.
Yeah, that's great. Well, what I really brought you in here this morning for was to talk a little bit about credit. And you talked a little bit about the credit scores. But let's just, you know, kind of walk folks through the best way. I mean, like the thing you talked about was less than 50% of the balance on the credit report. It's kind of crazy. You would think that somebody who doesn't have credit cards, they'd have a high credit score, but that's not always the case. So let's talk about what the realistic things that people should do to put themselves in the best place to have a score of at least 720, if not like your score, 850.
Well, honestly, I think the highest score I've seen, and I've been doing strictly mortgages for 11 years, been in lending for 20 some years, is about an 830 credit score. So it's
some kind of magic thing. Oh, so I do have the highest score.
There you go. But if you have a mortgage, that's going to bump up your credit. Obviously, if you're getting a mortgage, you may in your first-time home buyer, you don't have that. So other things that help with that mix is if you have a car loan and you didn't just get it out. If you have credit cards that have been established for a long length of time where you owe 30% or less than the outstanding balance. And you might think, well, I have great credit. I pay all my credit cards on time, never been late on anything, but they're maxed out. That actually does tank your score significantly. So if you're maybe, we pull your score and it's a 660 and there could be a significant rate bump reduction for you to get it up to a 680 or 700, then we're going to suggest that you pay that down as much as you can to get at least below 50, but preferably below 30 to increase your score. And that's something that you can do if you've got the reserves fairly quickly and that will have a pretty quick result.
I think two things that you said that I think are important to point out as well. One is, and this may seem pretty simple and common sense, but if you're thinking about getting a mortgage or you've actually written a contract on a house and you know you're going to go in to apply for a mortgage, don't go buy a car that day. That's just not a good idea. And then the second thing is that from a standpoint of the mortgage and applying for the mortgage, you want to be in a situation where you've got yourself in the best possible place. And you hear about these people who say, let us fix your credit score. Come to this seminar and we're going to teach you how to do this, or we're going to have you pay us this much money to help us fix your credit score. One of the things I think is really important and I wanted to point out on the show, Tammy, is that that's what you do for a living. Mm-hmm. And we do it, you do it for free.
Yes.
There's no cost to that. Tammy can help you. If you know that your credit's a little bit in trouble, you can call Tammy or you call any reputable lender and they will walk you through and help you get to a place 6 months from now or a year from now where that credit score is well enough that you can actually buy a house. You know, we're running out of time, and so I want to make sure I get this done. Tammy, if people want to talk to you about mortgages, about refinancing, about understanding more about a credit score, what's the best way to reach you?
Either email, which is Tammy, T-A-M-M-Y, at TammyWilt, W-I-L-T.com, or give me a call, 434-242-0046, and I'm happy to help. I do it all the time.
That's great. And so, folks, that's the way you can catch up with her. I think one other thing I'd like to point out to you as we're walking out the door here today is, remember, if you're a first-time buyer, and I say this a lot, but I really believe it, if you're a first-time buyer, you get with somebody like Tammy or another reputable lender in the marketplace, what I would encourage you to do is find a home that you can buy, that your mortgage payment is an amount that in that neighborhood, if you had to move, you had to leave the area or you needed a bigger house or whatever, that your mortgage payment would be equal to what you could rent that house for. I wish I had done this, so do as I say, not as I did. I wish every house I bought I still owned. And if you can put yourself in a situation where you can get the amount of money for rent that you're paying on a mortgage, then you get other people paying that mortgage, and you put yourself in a much, much better place financially. So keep that in mind as well. Credit score is really important, folks. Be smart about what you do in regards to what you, you know, taking extra credit cards out because they had a special deal or that kind of thing. That's not always a really good idea. So keep that in mind. We're grateful for your time. As always, it just flies by. Our time is up. We certainly thank you for yours. Hope you guys have a good weekend. Ben, Becca, go dogs. Go dogs. Have a great day.